People who have been on the brink of death slash legally dead. Can you describe what it felt like? Story 1. I've never even told this to my closest friends or family that were involved, and it happened half a lifetime ago. Bear with me. This is going to get pretty convoluted, but I need to get it out. I, like a lot of other people that have replied to this thread, drowned. My situation was pretty intense, happened when I was younger, and I still remember every detail of it vividly. I was 14, 30 now, at a friend's house during a party with a few other people, and decided to scare my friend by diving over her and into the pool. I succeeded better than I could have imagined. My head hit the bottom, which broke two bones in my neck, tore many ligaments, and caused a lot of damage to the soft tissue of my spinal cord. I remember the sound I heard when I hit the bottom. If you find a video of a tank firing a shell, that loud, sharp crack followed by a deep echo is what it sounded like inside my head. I must have lost consciousness for a moment because I woke up floating in the water. My arms were in front of me, but I could not move them. My first feeling was pure terror. I thought I was dead and that I would spend forever trapped inside my own body. By a strange coincidence, my mother and I had watched the movie Ghost the night before. We had talked about whether it was possible for someone to die instantly without a visible injury to the head. A few seconds later, my thoughts became even darker. I could move my head just a little bit from side to side. I realized I must have broken my neck because I had no feeling from the neck down. I couldn't even feel the normal sensations that tell you where your body is in space. I was a smart kid, and these were the thoughts going through my mind. I just broke my neck. I have no way to show my friends that I am in big trouble. My friends know I can hold my breath for almost 3 minutes. The brain can last for 5 minutes without oxygen before it gets damaged. This is going to be very close. Even if I survive, I will be in a vegetative state or stuck in a wheelchair forever. I will never walk again. I will never feel a hug or someone holding my hand. I will never have a partner or have children. I will never do the things I dreamed of. If my brain isn't damaged, I will be trapped in a useless body and won't even be able to end my own life if I wanted to. As I thought about all of this, after a minute or two of being terrified, I heard myself trying to breathe in the water. It is hard to describe the sound, but if you are ever underwater and you swallow hard, that glub noise is the closest thing to it. Every few seconds, glub, glub, glub. When I heard that sound, I felt a strange wave of emotion. It is very hard to explain and very disturbing. That was when the reality hit me, and I just stopped fighting. I couldn't move anyway, but mentally I gave up. I felt a huge sense of peace. I knew I didn't need to be afraid of my future worries because I knew I was going to die right then. Most people are terrified of knowing when or how they will pass away, but I had the answers to both. Suddenly, I was okay with it. On some level, I knew I was dying. I knew my brain was losing air and my lungs were taking in water. I knew my body was likely releasing natural chemicals to make the experience less painful, but it felt distant. It was like being at the dentist and getting medicine to numb your mouth before a procedure. You know it should hurt, but you don't feel it. I knew what was happening, but I just watched it with a strange curiosity. I don't know how long I floated there, but my vision went gray, and I eventually blacked out. I woke up almost immediately as I was being put into an ambulance. Paramedics and doctors told me later that I was out for about 20 minutes. The paramedics arrived just a few minutes after the emergency call, because the fire station was very close by. When they arrived, I was blue and had no heartbeat. They brought me back using CPR. Here is the most disturbing part. Back then, I was very religious and grew up in a Christian home. I thought God was welcoming me, and that was why I felt peace. But I didn't see a white light, a tunnel, or my life flashing before my eyes. I didn't see any of the things other people describe, even though I was looking for them while it was happening. Being ready to die, facing that ultimate fear and accepting it, only to then stay alive, you would think I would be happy. Instead, I felt cheated. I felt like a mean joke had been played on me. I felt like God didn't want me. This shook my faith deeply and made me question everything I believed. I went through a lot of emotional pain until I eventually left my faith years later, which made me a much happier person. At the time, I didn't feel happy to be alive because I was completely paralyzed. I had no feeling below my neck, and that lack of sensation almost drove me crazy. I remember lying in the intensive care unit, strapped to a bed, staring at the ceiling. Sometimes I couldn't take it and would just start screaming. This happened several times, and they gave me so much medication that I couldn't tell what was real. I told a therapist about this once, but they didn't keep it private, so I haven't shared it with anyone else until now. The idea of ending my life became a comfort. If you haven't been in that spot, it might be hard to understand. No matter how bad life gets, usually you have the power to decide if you want to keep going. That choice is sometimes the only control you have. But I didn't even have that. I had a medical frame attached to my head, and very slowly, I began to improve during my weeks in the hospital. I started to get some feeling back. I could twitch and move my fingers and toes. They put me in intense physical therapy. However, for those first few weeks, my only goal was to get strong enough so that I could end my life if I chose to, or if I never got better. Friends and family visited me constantly and were amazed at my progress. I wonder what they would have thought if they knew my real motivation during those first weeks. I wanted to do anything to get back to that feeling of peace I had before I almost died, even if it meant leaving this life. I never told them, and I never will. Once I improved enough to have that control back, I started to get even better. After a year of therapy, I made a full recovery. I still have some minor side effects that I have learned to live with. I have read that drowning is a terrible way to go. I don't know if my experience was normal, or if I just didn't feel the pain in my chest because my neck injury blocked the feeling. As I said, I didn't see anything that looked like an afterlife. No white light, no God calling me home, and no life review. It was just fading into the dark. I try to live every day to the fullest now, because I know this is the only life I will have. Sorry that took so long, but it was very helpful to finally write this out after 16 years. Edit. Heh, never thought my Reddit gold cherry would be popped by sharing a near-death experience from 16 years ago. Thanks, stranger. Edit 2. RIP my inbox. Edit 3. Damn it, I was supposed to sleep for the last 7 hours before going to work tonight, but I've enjoyed this discussion and how civil it's been, especially for one containing any mention of religion or God. I have to head into work now, and we'll try to answer any questions tomorrow. Viva LA Redline. You guys all rock. Thank you for the support. Story 2. It sounds like your experience was incredibly abrupt. One second you're facing a massive physical reality, and the next your brain just cuts to black. That camera flash memory of the truck grill is a very common way the mind handles extreme trauma. It captures the last thing it saw before the survival systems take over and shut down the recording. There is something strangely heavy about that blank space where a dream or a vision should have been, especially when compared to the long, drawn-out piece the person in the previous story described. Since you mentioned that image of the grill is still so clear 20 years later, we'd like to talk more about how that specific memory or the missing time has affected how you view things today. Story 3. A few years ago, I had a major stroke. I had just woken up and was in the kitchen brewing some coffee. To start with, I felt a sense of dizziness, like I was going to tip over, so I sat down on the floor of the kitchen. Not long after that, I lost every bit of feeling on the left side of my frame, and the right side of my body began to shake uncontrollably. My sight became double, and every sound seemed like it was coming from underwater and was a little bit scrambled. Fortunately, I was not by myself when this occurred. The man I was seeing back then happened to be there and could call for emergency help. I recall being very conscious of the fact that I had lost power over my body and I could feel it stopping. I was attempting to speak and understood that the words I was saying didn't make sense. When the emergency workers got there and began to help me, I remember being truly worried that my front door was standing open and I did not want my cats to leave the house and become lost. I understood that I was passing away. But that is what was on my mind. It felt very strange and muddled. When I got to the hospital, everything was a fuzzy memory. Things moved very fast, and I felt very lost. I recall having my garments cut off, being placed into a scanning machine, not being able to take a breath and feeling scared, having a tube for air put in, and people running around me to work on me. I believe at one stage they might have given me medicine to make me sleep, but I'm not entirely certain. I had a specific moment where I became extremely aware that I could not feel my body at all anymore, and I could not see anything happening near me. Though I was no longer inside my body, but I could still hear the people nearby speaking and working on me. However, they sounded like they were very far off. I felt an intense fear and realized that I could not talk to anyone. I did not know if I...
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now, they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I was still living. I remember wanting to yell and being unable to. I remember wanting someone to just say to me that I was still alive, because I truly did not know if I was. It was the most frightening thing I have ever gone through. At some point, I must have lost consciousness, or they must have given me something to put me to sleep. The next thing I realized, I was waking up in the intensive care unit with my family and doctors all around me, waiting to find out if I had any damage to my brain or if I could not move. Fortunately, that was not the situation, and I emerged from it mostly unharmed. Edit. I'm really surprised by all of the responses to my story. Thank you for all of the comments, questions, and stories. And thank you to whoever gave me gold. Story 4. I tried to end my life by hanging about a year and a half ago. When I placed the belt around my neck, I felt glad and certain that I wanted to follow through with it. I recall losing consciousness, then opening my eyes, not knowing what was happening. It felt like the world was spinning, likely because I could somewhat see my body shaking, but I felt numb and was extremely scared that I would lose consciousness again before I could get the belt off of my neck. I was so incredibly frightened. The positive thing, however, is that I know how much I really do want to be alive after that. I understand now that because of that fear I felt, taking my own life is not what I truly want, even if I think it is at times. Story 5. I have told this story before on here. Here is an updated story with more info on the near-death experience part. I had minor surgery on my knee. It was supposed to be easy, in and out on the same day, no crutches required, and just 1 week away from my job. So I walk out of the medical center, go home to my sofa and my gaming console, and settle in for a week of playing games. On the third night, I'm in so much pain that I cannot even think clearly. We took every single frozen item out of my freezer and wrapped my leg from the top to the bottom, from my hip down to my ankle. There is no relief. I took 6 strong pain pills in 30 minutes, but still no relief. I could do nothing but make loud sounds of pain all through the night. I didn't sleep at all. I was just in total misery. I spent a few days like this, and finally my mom rings me to see how the surgery went. I explain the situation and she gives me a hard time, saying, "I know you. You are just like your dad. Go to the hospital, something is wrong." So she gets me to promise that I will go to the hospital. I am hurting so much that I am sure the surgeon left something inside my knee. I go there and they do what they are trained to do, give out meds. They give me painkillers and send me home. Another week of misery passes, I go back again, and the same thing happens. Another week goes by with more meds. Finally, I have had enough. My knee is 2 times the size of the other one, and I am begging the emergency doctor to help solve the problem. No help comes. I call the surgeon's office again, and they say the same thing. Just go down to the emergency room. I lost my temper. The only way that I am going back to that hospital is if that man is waiting for me at the doors. I shout. She puts me on hold for a moment, then comes back and says, "Okay, be there in an hour and he will be waiting for you." I get there, and he is there with his assistant. They get me into the room and push a giant needle with a very large tube on it under my kneecap. They pull out what looks like a liter of fluid and junk and send it away to be tested. The doctor tells me to wait for an hour because they might have to rush me into surgery. An hour passes. It is not what we thought it was. Here are some pills for swelling. If it is not better by Friday, come back and we will do a second surgery to find out what the problem is. In the meantime, we are sending out more samples for testing. Friday arrives and there is no change, just total agony. I am back in the hospital waiting for surgery number 2. The doctor comes in and says, "We have received more test results back. The good news is we know what it is. The bad news is it is not good." It turns out I had caught a very dangerous superbug infection during the first surgery. Because the infection was not found for almost a month, my entire right leg was filled with it. They call a specialist and rush me into surgery. They cut me open and drain as much of the infection as they can. The specialist has never seen that type of infection before and tells me to take 1,200 milligrams of a very strong antibiotic every day. That is a very powerful medicine. They cannot put it through a normal for because it will cause your veins to close up, so he orders a special long-term tube for my arm. This means you lie on a table while they push a tube with a metal center into a big vein in your arm and move it through the vein until it reaches your heart. They take an x-ray while you are on the table to make sure the tube is in the right place. Then they pull out the metal center. This leaves a direct path to your heart to give you the medicine. I live with this thing in my arm for a month and a half. It is connected to a machine, and bag after bag of antibiotics are pumped into me all day and night. Finally, the doctor tells me I can switch to a smaller dose that I can take by mouth. This means for the first time in a month and a half, I can take a shower without something hanging off my arm connected to a machine. I am very excited. I unhook the machine the same way my home nurse did every 3 days when we had to change the line. But here is where it gets really interesting. The hospital set up the tube incorrectly and gave me a line that was open at the end. Since I had a pump, I should have had a closed line that the pump would push medicine through. This was never a problem before because the nurse was always working on it while I was sitting up and resting. But when I unhooked it while sitting on my bed, wrapped the area in a plastic bag and tape, and then stood up to walk to the bathroom, there was nothing but a direct path for air to go straight into my heart. I reach the bathroom, and the air bubble hits my heart. My heart starts failing, my body starts shaking, my chest feels like it is on fire, and I know I am in big trouble. I am making strange noises, and I know I am dying. It was very odd, but I just knew I was close to the end. No one has to tell you that you are dying, you just know it. I lose consciousness and had a spiritual experience. There was no white light and no family members. I saw death itself, as in the spirit of death. It is hard to describe with words, but he/she/it was afraid. I saw fear in its eyes. So a couple of years ago, when I had a custom motorcycle built, I had the seat decorated with a skull and the tank painted to say, "Death is a coward." I am rushed by ambulance to the emergency room and spent some time in the intensive care unit. The doctors have no reason for why I did not die. The heart doctor just kept saying things to me like, "You realize you almost died today, right? Or how are you dealing with this physiologically?" Story 6. I T-boned a minivan going 50 miles per hour on my motorcycle. I was in the right lane and didn't even have time to put my hand on a brake. The man could not have timed it more perfectly. As soon as I saw that I was going to strike him, time slowed down. I was certain I was going to die. I recall every millisecond of the crash as well. I hit the van, and because I was on a CBRF4, my lower body crushed the fuel tank and by about 2 inches. This launched me up into the air rather than straight into the van. If I had been on a Harley, I would be dead right now. The people who saw it say I flew as high as a telephone pole and about 50 feet away. I must have flipped in the air over and over, with my arms and legs being pulled by the spinning force, about 6 times. All I recall seeing was dark, light, dark, light. I landed on the back of my head and rolled onto my back. I lost consciousness after that. I was wearing a helmet and a leather jacket. I did not break any bones, but I was unable to walk for 3 weeks. I knew I was going to die. It was the most peaceful moment of my life. I will never forget it. I completely let go of life and allowed whatever was going to happen. It was beautiful. No one should fear death. Story 7. I almost drowned in a local river that has strong currents the closer you get to the center of the water. I got caught in the flow and could not swim out or find anything to grab onto. I could not hold my breath anymore, so death began to feel real once my mouth was full of water. It is a natural instinct to open your mouth for air, but it messed with my head knowing all I was going to get was water. At some point, I saw someone dive under the water near me and pull me out. It was my cousin who had to help me walk back to get to the rest of the group with my family. I was in a daze for the rest of the day. My dad reacted with extreme panic, if I recall correctly. Nobody realized I was just seconds away from being dead. I do not like strong currents unless it is at a water park. How it felt. I was just a kid who did not understand life and death yet. I knew how to swim and was taught to just keep my head above the water. It was terrible not knowing how to feel. I did not cry, but I had a lot of questions about life after that. Story 8. I received a lethal overdose of Demerol. Nurse was freaking insane. I stopped breathing for anywhere between 3 and 6 minutes. And after resuscitation, the doctor even had a talk with my parents wherein he explained that when I fully came back, I would be different, if not brain damaged. Luckily, he was wrong. All I remember is nothing. It was bizarre, but not scary. It wasn't until then that I realized that even in your deepest sleep, a part of you is still conscious, listening to what's going on and keeping track of time. It was shocking when I realized that there is something below that, in which there is no activity. It's much like the memories from before I was born. The only thing I solidly remember is being resuscitated. As oxygen was finally being pumped into my body again, it felt like my brain and spinal cord were being pulled out of cold, heavy water and were being warm again. Then I remember groaning responses to the doctor's questions and panicking shortly after when I realized what happened. Then an orderly came in and out of nowhere asked, "What's your problem?" I lost it on him, and he left looking confused. But even my mom says that his question was out of left field. Then my family twisted the story and tried to claim I saw Jesus, but that's a whole other can of worms. Story 9. This took place a few years back, almost on this exact day. It was December 23, 2011, on the island of Oahu. I'd already been there for 2 days visiting with a family of the girl I was dating at the time. My mom and dad had found a rental house just a few streets away, as we were all gathered to spend our very first Christmas in Hawaii. I decided to go for a swim at Kalama Beach, and my girlfriend and her sister joined me. My parents and my own sister stayed on the sand. After roughly 5 minutes, the two girls headed back to the beach, but I stayed in the ocean because I had not been swimming for months and wanted to enjoy the water for a little while longer. About 3 minutes after that, I realized I was not in the spot I thought I was. I was perhaps 5 feet further out and 3 feet to the left of where I should have been. The tide must be moving in. I told myself I should probably swim back to the beach now. So I started to. Or at least, I attempted to. I would take about 10 swimming strokes, but I wasn't moving forward. I would try to put my feet down and swim back, but the water was pulling very hard against my legs. "Come on," I thought to myself, "you are strong. All of your family members are right here. Do not cause a big scene. Just try harder." I did this 4 or 5 times until I suddenly realized I was in a bad situation. I was out of energy, I was frightened, and I was starting to lose my sense of direction. Even worse, I could no longer feel the sand beneath me. Looking back, this made me feel like I was much further from the shore than I really was. I was only about 15 feet out, but there was suddenly at least 6 feet of water between the surface and the bottom. I finally waved for someone to help me. My father, my sister, and my girlfriend all ran into the ocean. My father was in the water up to his knees directly in front of me, while my sister and girlfriend swam toward my left side. My dad was able to reach out just enough to push me further to his right, which helped me move past the breaking waves that were starting to pull me underneath. At that point, I was on my own again, exhausted and mentally finished, just trying to keep my arms flapping. I would pull through the water 2 or 3 times, then stop and reach my foot down to search for the bottom. This resulted in me going under the water for 4 seconds at a time. Then it was 6 seconds. Finally, I was under for 10 seconds, only coming up to grab quick breaths of air. My vision began to turn gray, and I felt more and more relaxed, but I did not feel at peace. I was still fighting, but I had a feeling that this was the end for me. I felt that life would continue for everyone else except me, that my family and my girlfriend's family would have a miserable Christmas, and that maybe even Obama would hear about me drowning, since his vacation home was very close by and he was there then, but I simply wouldn't be around. It felt more like I was just accepting it or giving up than anything else. Eventually, I got a small break from the waves and managed to get 3 full breaths of air. I put every bit of energy I had left into swimming as hard as possible to my left. I took about 4 or 5 strokes before I simply had a hope for the best that my foot would hit something solid. Finally, I felt the ground. I managed to pull myself onto the beach and fall down in the shallow water. My chest was moving fast and my adrenaline was high. I had to be helped to a chair to sit up because I felt like my head was about to burst. The following day, at her family's Christmas celebration, I took out the ring I had kept hidden in my socks and asked my girlfriend to marry me. If I had passed away into water, the thing that hurt me most was the thought of her finding that ring and being extremely sad. It goes without saying that I am very glad about how everything ended up. TLDR, nearly drowned in a riptide in Hawaii, felt more resigned than peaceful, but definitely relaxed. Proposed to my girlfriend the next day. Edit, thank you for my first gold, kind stranger. Story 10. This is my first time posting because I felt like I needed to share. I was 18 years old and close to finishing high school. I had a job at a bakery that didn't close until midnight. After I was done with the cleaning and stocking, I gave my coworkers rides to their houses since we all lived in the same neighborhood. At 1 a.m., I pulled into the alleyway behind my house to park in my one-car garage. The garage is connected to my fenced-in yard, which leads to the back door of my home. It was a rainy night, and the light in the alley was broken. And then I noticed a man walking toward me. By that time, I was already backing the car into the garage. Looking back, I realized I should have put the car in drive and sped out of that alley without looking back. However, I thought to myself that if I could just get inside and shut the garage door, I would be safe. Clearly, I was mistaken. My garage door used a sensor that would make it open back up if it touched anything other than the floor. The man stood right in front of it and used his hand, which was holding a firearm, to push against the door. This triggered the sensor and made the door start opening again. I was frozen with fear. He then walked to my car door and pulled it open. I still wonder why I didn't just lock that door. He held the weapon to my head and commanded me to get into the trunk. I pleaded with him to just take the vehicle, my money, and my phone and go away. He took my cash, which was $33 in tips I had earned that shift, and told me once more to get in the trunk. So I stepped out of the car, but I had no intention of going into that trunk without a fight. I grabbed the barrel of the weapon and pointed it toward the wall, and we started struggling over it. In a moment, the weapon seemed to fold in half. It wasn't real. We both just stood there looking at each other for what seemed like an eternity, though it was likely only a few seconds. I then attempted to run toward the door of my house. I wanted to at least yell for my brother, since his bedroom window looked out over the yard. But I didn't get far enough. My attacker reached out and grabbed my neck from behind and started to squeeze. I was unable to breathe. I tried to get away, but I was panicking too much. Everything turned black. It stayed dark for a bit. I don't recall having any thoughts, just darkness. And then, everything turned white. It was like a very bright light. Everyone I cared about, my mom and dad, my brother, my family, my friends, and everyone close to me, their faces appeared in this white light. It was like someone was flipping through the pages of a picture book very quickly. Everyone was smiling. Then I saw my own face, and I was smiling too. I felt joyful. I felt completely at peace and comfortable. Then my grandfather, who had passed away, appeared. It was just him and his smile in that white light for what felt like forever. I can still see it clearly today. He just smiled at me, and then I woke up inside the trunk of my car. The man was driving my car out of the garage, and suddenly I felt a wave of anger. I knew I had to get out. I had to graduate. I had worked too hard to miss walking across that stage. I had a whole life ahead of me. I started pulling at wires and eventually managed to pop the trunk open. The lid was heavy and barely moved as I pushed myself out and rolled from the moving car onto the center of the road. When the attacker was later caught, he told the police that he truly had no clue I had gotten away until he reached the place where he planned to take me. When he got out of the car, he saw the trunk was standing open. I believe my grandfather was the one who saved me that night. He was my guardian angel. But that feeling of being completely content right before he appeared is still a very strange memory to me. Hell, deer was nearly choked to death. First world went black then white. I felt happy and content. Smiling faces of my loved ones flashed in a bright light. Deceased grandfather appeared in light and I woke up. I then proceeded to escape from my attacker without him realizing. He was caught 3 days later and is in jail for 12 years. Story 11. Mine happened after childbirth. I had a medical condition where the placenta grew too deep, which led to a massive loss of blood. It was surreal. I saw what was happening in the mirror. Because I am a nurse, I knew exactly what was going on as I continued to bleed. I felt my heart rate speed up and my ears started ringing. It felt as though there were 100 people in the room preparing to rush me to the operating room. I remember. A feeling of panic took over for a short second. I wondered if my husband, my children, and my new baby would be okay if I wasn't there. Then, an overwhelming sense of calm washed over me. I could hear everyone talking and all the surrounding noises, but the sound was muffled. It was like hearing everything while underwater. I knew that they would be just fine without me. I could feel it in my soul. I remember thinking, so this is how I die, and I was completely okay with that. It was just peaceful, almost as if I had known all along that I would die right then and there. I remember them rolling me out of the room, and I remember saying to my family, "You all will be okay, and I love you." Then, just blackness. It still surprises me today how calm I was. It was almost a feeling of great happiness and just, I don't have the right words for it. It felt like the most correct or okay feeling I had ever experienced. I was shocked when I woke up about 12 hours later. That was when the panic actually started. I was screaming, "Where is my baby?" over and over again. That part was terrible. To this day, I do not fear death. I'm actually a hospice nurse now, a career change that I fully believe was influenced by this experience. I have learned through this and through others that most people fear the pain of suffering, not necessarily death itself. As for me, it was so simple and calming. But I am certainly glad I am still here. Story 12. I bled out after childbirth. It happened overnight, so I was mostly asleep and worn out from the birth. The nurse kept coming into the room to check my blood pressure, but it did not bother me because I was so tired and I can usually sleep through a storm anyway. The last time she came to check on me, she ran out of the room shouting. Suddenly, there were 5 or 6 people in the room, yelling at each other and saying things like "stat" and "I can't find a vein," and then someone pressed down on my stomach and I bled heavily everywhere. They ripped the blankets off of me, and suddenly I was freezing. I was cold and wet and shaking so hard it felt like I was running. They were yelling about finding veins and trying to guess how much blood I had lost. Then someone placed a heated blanket on me, and my entire body softened and relaxed. I felt floaty and warm. I honestly could have gone back to sleep, even with all the needles from the doctors and nurses. I am a third-generation atheist. We are rare. Usually, people were at least somewhat raised with religious ideas, even if only to please an older generation. Not me. I have seen animals die before. 1 minute they are alive, breathing, and usually when close to death, fighting. Then they are gone, and it is just skin and bone. The life is gone. I thought, if I stop fighting and just float and glide and relax, I will die. My body will be here, and I won't. Someone was asking me questions, though. It was distracting. They wanted to know if I wanted them to call my family. I told them not to call. Professional tip: if the thought of dealing with your partner while you are dying after having his baby makes you uncomfortable, your relationship is probably not going to last. I thought about my brand new little daughter, who had been taken out of the room at the start of the crisis. I thought about her being raised by her father all alone. That was when I started actively not wanting to die. I kept thinking, I cannot die yet, I have to be here. The next morning, I was swollen like a blowfish with 4 lines running into me from everywhere. I had this strange feeling of having barely escaped. I wondered if I should be having a deep realization. Like something more than, I want to raise my little girl and I don't think my partner and I are going to make it. I had been thinking those thoughts for months. The only lasting effect was anemia. Story 13. I had been out at the lake neat boarding for several hours and really underestimated how exhausted it would make my arms feel. One of my friends jokingly pushed me off the boat while I was adjusting my life jacket, and I sank quickly. I remember fighting at first, trying to get the strength back into my arms. Then I started struggling to save my air. Finally, there came this strange, peaceful acceptance. I let all the air out of my mouth and thought, this is it. Obviously, I made it out alive. That feeling of acceptance is something that still freaks me out to this day. Story 14. I almost died from dehydration. I had gone without any food or water for 5 days while I was recovering from a surgery. I kept telling myself that I would feel better the next day and would be able to eat or drink then. That never happened, though. On the fifth day, I remember waking up and knowing I was in a bad situation. I made my way downstairs around 9 a.m. to try to find my phone. I had not been able to speak for a couple of days, so I couldn't call for help, but I later discovered a text message I had written to my boyfriend that said, "I need to go to the ER." I have no memory of writing that message, and it never actually sent. The dehydration was the most agonizing feeling I have ever experienced in my life. It wasn't exactly pain, but something worse, like my body was signaling to me that it was shutting down. I sat down and found I couldn't get back up. All I could think was that it hurt so much that I wanted to stop existing until the hurting ended. That is the last thing I recall. My boyfriend at the time came home 5 hours later and found me in that same spot, unresponsive and barely breathing. He tried to wake me up, but when he leaned me up, I fell face first onto the floor and didn't move. We lived about 2 blocks away from the hospital, so he carried me to his car and rushed me to the emergency room. He mentioned that the nurses weren't sure if they could even get an 4 into me because my veins were so thin from the lack of fluids, but they succeeded. I don't remember much of that week, and the time between when I sat down in that chair and when I finally woke up in the hospital is just a blank space. It was as if that time simply didn't exist for me. I had always believed that once you move past the initial feelings of hunger or thirst, dying from dehydration or starvation will be one of the less painful ways to go, but I was mistaken. Even though it wasn't what we usually call pain, the way my body felt was the most excruciating thing I've ever known. If I had to choose between dying right now or feeling that way for the rest of my life, I would choose death. Story 15. I have this really rare disease known as primary ciliary dyskinesia. Only about 400 people in the U.S. know they have it. Basically, none of the tiny hairs called cilia in my body work. I was diagnosed as a child and received medical care from then on. It caused me to get pneumonia a huge amount of times. I was breathing in a lot of food into my lungs and nearly suffocated every single day. Well, one day I inhaled an entire Oreo, yes, a whole Oreo, and the medical staff decided it was a major emergency. I was then flown by emergency helicopter to Children's Mercy in California. Shortly after arriving, I suffocated. It wasn't bad, though. It hurt a little bit and I knew what was going on, but I was at peace. I was terrified of dying all the way up until the moment it happened. Something clicked in my head and I wasn't scared anymore. Well, after being brought back, it was decided I would have a surgery. I believe it was a gastric bypass. The scars it left behind are pretty silly, though I have 4 dots and a strange-looking belly button. The doctors told my parents I wouldn't live to see my 12th birthday and that I should be treated very delicately. My parents eventually said to forget that and let me be a kid. I am 16 now, I haven't died, and I feel awesome. Besides this stuffy nose that I have all year long. Sorry about the long block of text, but I never write anything. Heldar, stay away from Oreos, they will crawl in your lungs. Story 16. Years ago, I had a partner who was very abusive. We were in a hotel room with some of his friends and a young person he was seeing, and I wanted to go because I was so fed up. When I tried to walk away, he put his arm around my neck. He used this to punish me all the time because he knew it was what I hated most, but this time he did not let go. It felt like I struggled for hours. Everything went black, and then it felt like I was breathing water. It is hard to explain. It wasn't like drowning, just breathing water as if it were a normal thing. I was floating, and I could see a waterfall. I have never felt anything more serene. It was beautiful. It made the moment I woke up such a sharp contrast. I'm not sure if I was truly dead, but his friends were all panicking when I came to. I was told I was out for more than a minute, with no life in my eyes and not breathing. He had supposedly been breathing into my lungs until I woke up. I was in so much pain. Breathing hurt. No amount of air felt like enough. I was covered in blood, and I was sitting in my own mess for a few minutes before I realized it. I was dragged to the shower, and I looked at myself in the mirror while I was in there. My face was purple, and it stayed that way for a few days. My eyes were red. After sitting under the water for a while, I was dragged to a bed. For a day, I could barely move. He used this chance to force me to cuddle with him. He would ask if I wanted things and bring them to me, acting like he was some sort of saint for taking care of my needs. He called me his zombie girlfriend. I felt more dead while awake than when I was unconscious. Sorry for life story. Story 17. Here's mine. I was given too many painkillers by the hospital after my surgery, Essentially, I was in my hospital room recovering when I became very sleepy. I told my mother and my girlfriend, who were there with me, that I was going to take a nap. As they walked out of the room to get something to eat, I lost consciousness and apparently started having a seizure. They tried to wake me up but were unable to, so they ran to find a doctor or a nurse. When they came back with a nurse, they still couldn't get me to wake up. I stopped seizing, and at that point, I died. The nurse pushed the emergency button to call for doctors and a medical cart. My room was filled with doctors and equipment as they tried to bring me back to life. My mother and girlfriend were extremely upset and were led out of the room while the team worked on me. What I recall from the entire event is slowly drifting back into consciousness. It felt like I was falling upward toward a very bright light, with sparkles falling down toward me like the ones you see when you get a head rush. It was a very strange feeling, and I had nightmares about it for months after. Eventually, I was able to think again, and I felt panicked. Nothing felt right. I still could not see or feel my body, but in my panic, I sat up against at least six doctors who were trying to hold me down. Adrenaline is a powerful thing. The first thing I remembered was that I was in the hospital. Since my mind wasn't working well and I couldn't move my body, I quickly realized that something was very wrong. My ability to think logically came back shortly after that. I remember that I had just undergone surgery and was in the hospital, and I realized something must have happened. I thought that my best chance to be okay was to just relax and let the doctors do their work. So I lay back down. I couldn't understand any words, see clearly, or use my body well. Slowly, my ability to see, feel, hear, and finally speak returned. I had apparently been dead for about 5 minutes. They gave me a medication to stop the effects of the painkillers and were able to bring me back. I never found out exactly what methods they used to do it. They allowed my mom and girlfriend back into the room once they were sure I didn't have brain damage. Let me tell you, the look on my mother's face when she saw me alive and talking again stays with me to this day. The only way to describe it is total relief, but I feel so guilty for the amount of pain I caused her. It was quite an experience overall. I wouldn't recommend it, but dying does have a way of changing how you see things. Fulvier, coming back from being dead felt like falling upwards toward a bright light, surrounded by sparkles. Story 18. I was about 10 years old, maybe 9, but I remember the details very clearly. I am 23 now. My cousins were planning to go to the beach at Lake Michigan, and my aunt invited me and my younger brother to join them. I chose to go, but my brother didn't really care to, so it was just me. It started out like any normal trip, and we all got into the water. I did not know how to swim at that time, so I stayed in the area where the water only reached my waist at its deepest. Eventually, my cousins got bored of the shallow area and went into deeper water, but I stayed behind. After a while, I got bored being by myself while everyone else was having fun together, so I decided to walk over toward them. I reached a spot where the water was at my mouth, and I was standing on my tiptoes. I was bobbing and slightly jumping up and down to take breaths. I thought to myself that this was a safe level, and I was close to my cousins, so I would just stay there. Well, as I mentioned, I had to jump on my tiptoes to breathe, and suddenly my feet completely slipped. I couldn't get any grip on the wet sand, and I went under. My feet were frantically scratching at the sand underneath me, trying to find a solid spot so I could stand up and get some air, but I couldn't. My feet just kept sliding. I would rarely break the surface to gasp for air before going back under. Sometimes I would come up and let out a small cry for help before going back down. All that time, my feet were literally pawing at the ground to find a foothold, but I just couldn't do it. My feet would just slip on the sand and I would fall under the water. This continued for what felt like forever, though I know it couldn't have been more than a minute or two at most. But again, I did not know how to swim. I was spending more time underwater than I was catching my breath. My lungs felt like they were going to burst because I couldn't hold my breath any longer. The whole time I was panicking, but I was also confused because I didn't understand why no one was helping me. I remember getting to the point where I literally thought, okay, this is where I die, but I wasn't scared. I was okay with it. It is a strange feeling to accept what you think is your final moment and be okay with it. Right as I was about to let the last bit of air out of my lungs while underwater, the strangest thing happened. I literally felt warm hands grab my right foot and firmly place it on the sand. In that moment, I finally had a foothold. I pushed off the ground and broke the surface of the water to take precious breaths of fresh air. I could not believe I was alive. I looked around at everyone, and no one knew anything was even slightly wrong. No one was aware of how close I had come to dying. I immediately went back to the shallow water and stayed in a place where I knew I was safe. However, I remember constantly thinking about the feeling of someone grabbing my foot and planting it on the ground. I haven't told anyone since it happened, and definitely not my parents, because I know they would have been very upset. Story 19. This happened earlier this year, and I am still dealing with the results and likely will be for the rest of my life. I was free climbing on a cliff, and I admit, I got into a situation that was too much for me. I reached a spot where I was climbing upside down, and a rock broke off, causing me to fall about 30 to 40 feet directly onto rock and gravel. I remember thinking as I was falling, "This is it, I'm going to die." I woke up to find my girlfriend in a total panic. She had brought me back to life and said that I had a seizure, then stopped moving and went cold for about a minute. My body was producing so many natural painkillers that I didn't feel any pain, but she told me not to look at my leg, so I knew right then that it was very bad. To make a long story short, I had to be flown by helicopter to a hospital where I spent the next month getting better and having two surgeries. In the end, I had a shattered top part of my shin bone. I have metal holding my leg together now, 7 broken bones in my left foot, and a broken left elbow, but I am lucky to be alive. At that time, I did not remember anything from when I had died, but I had a memory come back a couple of weeks later. I remembered being between two levels of existence, a darker, lower level, our physical world, and a brighter, higher level. These beings were trying to take me to the higher level, but I kept holding on, literally grabbing onto the ground because I wasn't ready to go yet. This might sound hard to believe, but this is what I truly experienced, and it has completely changed the way I look at death. If I was afraid of dying before, I'm definitely not now. Dale Dar fell off a cliff, died, came back to life, but not before seeing the spirit realm. Story 20. I was on a hospital table and was so scared that my entire body was shaking the whole thing. I turned my head to the side to look at my mother. I blinked and asked her when the doctors were going to begin. She looked confused and told me that they had been finished for over 30 minutes, and that a helicopter was already on its way to move me to a special hospital. They had cut into the left side of my chest and moved my ribs to put in a chest tube. During that process, I started to lose a huge amount of blood. I was told later that my heart stopped during this because my left lung had collapsed and actually pushed my heart over toward the right side of my body. The doctor said if we had arrived even a few minutes later, I would not be here today. My mom said that the entire time, I just stared at her with eyes that looked glazed over. I remember nothing and felt nothing. It was as if those few hours simply did not exist for me. Story 21. When I was in 6th grade, I nearly died while pounding at the ice from underwater. I actually don't recall what I felt very well. I know I was angry. I realized I was going to die, but I didn't want to accept it. All I recall after falling through the ice was anger. It felt like forever just punching the ice, and I couldn't find the hole I fell in from either. It was so cold, the coldest I've ever been. Right as things were graying out, I tried one more time. I pushed off the ice to go down. I found a rock, or maybe it was a stick. I can't remember, and I hit the ice a few more times before it broke. Walking back for nearly an hour in the cold snow, and wet clothes probably almost killed me too in hindsight. The whole experience, and the month afterwards being sick in bed are a blur, just a lot of shivering. Story 22. I probably wasn't dying, but I definitely had a strange experience in ICU after my brain surgery. I hadn't woken up from the anesthesia yet, but I remember sitting in my bed with doctors and nurses around me, and my heart beating a million times too fast. I hear machines beeping all around like crazy, and the voices of nurses scrambling. I try to open my eyes, but all I could see was white with vague figures of people around. I was shaking and couldn't breathe for a good couple of minutes when all of a sudden this wave of coolness went through my body, and my heartbeat went back to normal. I'm pretty sure it was just a reaction to the drugs and anesthesia, but I'll never forget it because it was terrifying and unusual. Story 23. This is a tough one to relive. If you want a short and honest answer, it felt peaceful. I am someone who survived a drowning. I will not go into all the specifics, but I passed out while I was under the water, at least that is what people told me happened. I do not actually recall that part. I had no idea what was happening at the time. It was only after I was brought back to life that I was able to understand what had occurred. Even though it happened many years ago, the things I felt were so clear that I still remember them well. I'm not sure if everyone goes through this, but I truly did see the best moments of my life during the event. I was living through all the amazing and great things that have happened to me, but all I felt was a sense of peace. I did not feel the high energy or the same happiness I felt when those things first happened in real life. I simply felt very calm. The very last thing I recall before I was brought back is being on the very first roller coaster I ever went on. We were getting close to the end of the ride, and I felt so satisfied, as if everything in the world was exactly the way it should be. Just before the end of the ride, I woke up gasping for air with people leaning over me. I was so disappointed when the feeling of peace and rightness left. I cried, but not out of joy. Story 24. I didn't die, but almost did. I jumped into a river early spring, tons of snow melt, high water, powerful current to save my dog, he is my whole world, and ended up getting taken by the river. As I mentioned, I didn't pass away, but I came very close. The sensation of the freezing water hitting my chest, being pulled under, and struggling to breathe while submerged was painful and caused a lot of panic. After a few minutes passed, I felt myself giving up and accepting what was happening. I clearly said to myself, "This is the end, I am going to die." That feeling of accepting the end caused my body to go limp and I lost control of my bowels. I didn't feel completely calm, however. It was a strange sensation. I stopped feeling the freezing cold or the water in my lungs, but I couldn't stop the deep desire to stay alive. I wanted to live so very much, and I wanted my dog to live even more. I held on to my dog's collar. He stayed quiet and mostly kept his head above the water. My foot eventually hit a large block of concrete at the bottom of the river that was left over from when the bridges were built. These blocks were lined up leading toward the bank. I used them to slowly move myself toward the shore until my vision began to go dark. Between my efforts and my dog swimming hard for the land, we reached a bridge pillar where the water wasn't pulling as hard. My dog then helped pull my exhausted body to the shore. After many coughing fits, throwing up water, and shaking from the pain in my chest, I sat on the bank and cried for a long time while hugging my dog before I finally called my family. The thought of "I'm going to die" still bothers me today, and I deal with some emotional trauma now. I can't go into rivers or stand too close to them, and I am still very afraid of death. I am even more worried now that I might be wasting my life, and I feel a strong need to do something meaningful. Because of that, I'm writing a book. It isn't related to this, but I'm writing it anyway. My dog is healthy and happy, and still the love of my life. Story 25. I regretfully tried to kill myself a few years back. Read that line carefully, anyone thinking about ending their life. I took 2 bottles of pills. I won't post the combination for safety reasons. My mom ended up finding me half on my bed, half off it with the pill bottles next to me, and called 911. You know how who shows up? Police officers. Not the EMT. Police were closer. You know who doesn't waste time? Police officers. I got carried out. I woke up for 5 minutes. 30 seconds just outside my apartment. You want the charger or the SUV? Your choice. I want the motherfucking charger. Regret number one. I am 6'3". They put a metal plate in the back with a small car-sized fence. I didn't fit. I passed back out halfway to the hospital and woke up briefly, shouting, "What the fuck am I being arrested for?" Mind you, I am very calm. I don't even remember cursing at the officer, but thankfully all of this was written down. Sarcasm. He had asked me why I wanted to kill myself, and I said, "Because I fucking hate you." Again, I don't remember this. Pass back out. 8:07 p.m. Woke back up at 2 a.m. to a nurse with dreads, and I was attached to all sorts of machines and 2 IVs. I don't know what was in them. She said my BPMs dropped to 15, and they thought I was going to have brain damage or coma or death. She said I was very lucky, then asked how many tattoos I had. I said, "I don't fucking know. Why am I in jail?" Then I passed back out. In the moments of blackness, I had a godlike experience. I've never shared this story except with my mom, who found me. And I left this part out. I guess this is the joy of being anonymous on the internet. I remember sitting on the edge of my bed. I sat up and saw my body laying there and thought, "What have I done? Oh no." And a lady appeared next to me, dressed in black. She said, "Everything will be okay." I then drifted away from my body. There is no light. I saw no light. But I did end up somewhere different. No life flashing before my eyes. I saw people in my life that had passed, and faces I didn't recognize. I didn't meet a god, nor a Jesus, nor a Buddha, or any other mystic being. But I did see a few loved ones. I was assured that I was going to be okay by all of them. To go back. To raise my daughter. My what now? Then it all went black. And so went my night. Wake up. Swear at everyone. Pass out. I woke back up finally at 8 a.m. the next morning. I was in a hospital bed next to a guy sweating and convulsing. I was confused and went for help. He was detoxing from heroin. I was admitted to a mental health unit locally, locked down for 4 days and put on antipsychotics. My fiancé, now wife, came to visit me. Turns out that she was pregnant. I was to have a daughter in 8 short months. She was waiting to tell me. Coincidence? I don't know. Listen, folks. Whatever I experienced, or my mind just made up regardless. I have many regrets about that night. Many. Life is so, so valuable. Before that night, I was diagnosed with a severe mental illness. I just came out of being homeless. Not sofa sleeping homeless, but legitimately homeless. I had goals and dreams, but my new illness prevented me from ever achieving them. But listen, no matter how cliche, it gets better. Much, much better. Also, if you can help it, don't curse at the wonderful people trying to save your life. Story 26. Copied from a previous comment, but it fits well here. I used to go swimming all the time at a rock quarry in my hometown. People whispered that it was over 500 feet deep, but we spoke to some divers one day who promised us it was only 60 feet at its deepest point. A few of my friends and I chose to try to reach the very bottom. We did this a lot in lakes and places like that. We had a rule that you had to bring back some mud to prove you actually made it. So, 6 of us stood in the water. My biggest friend, Clay, grabbed a huge rock and simply stepped off the underwater cliff where it dropped straight down. I held on to his leg, and the other 4 guys held on as well. Around 20 feet down, 2 guys changed their minds and went back up, and 2 more followed right after. At that point, it was just me and Clay. I could still see everything around me because the water in the quarry was perfectly clear, but it was getting much colder. We finally reached the bottom, and in a tiny second, Clay and I looked at each other. He mouthed the words, "Oh no," and then sped back toward the surface. I did the same, and I felt pretty sure that we were going to be okay. After swimming for what felt like a very long time, the water started getting warmer and warmer. I began to let out some of my air because I thought I was almost at the top. I was wrong. The sun was shining through the water very brightly, and the water felt almost hot compared to the bottom, but I was completely out of breath. Everything began to turn black. I went into a survival mode where I could not hear or see a thing, but my body kept swimming. My mind was truly shutting down, and I could not stop thinking, "I'm going to die right now, and no one will ever know." When I finally broke through the surface of the water, I have done a lot of dangerous things in my life, but nothing has ever come close to that experience. Story 27. This happened to my sister. A few years back, while we were on vacation, everyone I was traveling with, my family plus another family, decided to leap into the swimming pool at the end of the evening for a quick swim. My sister, who was only 3 or 4 years old then, decided she was ready to leave the water. So my dad climbed out of the pool with her. He then sat in a chair with my sister sitting on his lap. As he was getting comfortable, he stretched out his leg and it came into contact with a light. There must have been a bad wire in that light because they both suffered an electric shock. Someone walking past saw what was occurring and was able to push my dad and sister away from the light. Regardless, the hotel called for a doctor to look them over. When the doctor asked my sister how she was feeling, she gave an answer similar to, "Yeah, I am okay. I had to tell the lady I did not want to go with her. I wanted to stay here with my mummy." Since this took place 20 years ago, she has no memory of it. But I would truly love to know more about what or who she saw. Story 28. Finally, I can tell my hanging story. So one day when I was 19, I got fed up with everything and decided to just give up and try to hang myself with a guitar cable I owned. I grabbed my things and walked out to a construction site where my friends and I used to go to blow things up. I found a garage that was being built. The outside was mostly done, but the inside was still just bare wooden structures. There was a wooden staircase that hadn't been put in yet, just sitting in the garage. I climbed up on the side of the staircase and threw the cable over one of the beams. I believe the way I tied the loop was smart because the more pressure I added, the tighter it would become. I lit a cigarette and took two drags. I then whispered, "Forget you," to myself as a way to tell the world off and kick the staircase out from under my feet. I have been in a dark place fairly often. It is part of who I am. I am transgender, but I didn't know that at 19. I just knew I was extremely depressed. However, the amount of willpower it takes to actually try to end your own life is incredibly strong, in a terrible kind of way. Instead of hanging there like I thought I would, I blacked out the second the cable went tight. I then saw this strange pattern with a bright light in the center. It was like what you might imagine an earthworm sees while pushing through the ground with a faint glow up ahead. This felt like it lasted for 2 seconds and forever at the same time. It is hard to describe since it is the only time I have ever felt that. After that unknown amount of time passed, I was in a strange field with rolling green hills, like a meadow. It looked a bit like how Elysium was shown in the movie Gladiator. Looking around, I saw dozens of children laughing and playing in the grass, giggling and having fun. I took 2 steps forward and said to myself, "What is going on? Where am I?" After that, I woke up face down about 5 to 10 feet away from where I had set up the cable. My face was covered in blood from hitting the ground hard, but I have no idea how I moved that far. I walked back and found my cigarette on the floor with 2 drags left on it. I finished them and thought to myself, "Well, today isn't the day." This was before cigarettes were made to put themselves out, so about 5 to 10 minutes could have passed from the time I tried to the time I woke up. The ends of the cable I used somehow came loose. I guess I wasn't as clever as I thought. After packing up my things, since I was out of cigarettes, I walked to the nearest gas station to buy another pack and then walked home. Soon after that, because of all the reading I did about physics and how all possibilities exist, I came up with a theory about immortality based on my own life. I have walked away from 2 car accidents where the cars were totaled, but the airbags didn't even go off and I was unhurt. Every time I have a bad reaction to drugs or stop breathing, I have woken up on my own or right before help arrived. Since then, I have stopped actively trying because I don't see how I could succeed if every possibility exists.